Call the Township of McKellar Special Meeting of Council for September 19th, 2025. To order, start with roll call.
Counselor Morley Hoskin.
Counselor Mike Heffernan.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Fire Chief Robert Morrison.
Counselor Debbie Zubak.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and/or personal interest to the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Resolution 25-415, moved by Councilor Keckinen, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the agenda for the special meeting of Council as presented. Any discussion? Call the question.
Councilor Morley Hoskin?
Yes.
Councilor Mike Keckinen?
Yes.
Councilor Debbie Zubak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. Four yeas, no nays, one absent. That's carried. Have resolution 25-416, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Keckinen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby moved into a public meeting at
6:31 p.m.
to inform the public of a new telecommunications tower to be built at the corner of Lees Road and Center Road. Call the question.
Councilor Morley Hoskin?
Yes.
Councilor Mike Keckinen?
Yes.
Councilor Debbie Zubak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. Four yeas, no nays, and one absent. That's carried. Now, the public meeting is to inform the public, yes, as said, by resolution of the new telecommunications tower that's being erected at Lees Road and Center Road. I'm thinking, though, for those who haven't necessarily followed the procedure, I don't want to put our fire chief on the spot here, but I think he's got probably a little bit of the history of how this came about, and I think we should be informing the people, certainly, that it's telecommunications in the sense that it's been initiated by a fire department, and that there may be other companies added later if they're interested, but it's not for individuals to actually go out and connect to the internet for this particular tower. It has a specific purpose, and it may, as I say, change a little bit in the future as maybe some companies get interested in tapping into it. We're not sure of that. But I'd also ask, we'll hear from Fire Chief Rob Morrison and the background, and then we'll hear from the successful bidder for the RFP, Max Tower. I think it's Mr. Dirks that's online.
Yes.
And if there are any particular questions, any questions of a technical nature, hopefully we can ask Rob. And I think the big thing maybe you want from Max Tower is the timeline, the time frame. I know there's a finish date, but maybe just expectations, what the public might expect if they drive by and what they might see. And so if there are any particular questions from the public, either in person or online, I'd ask you to ask those questions through the chair, but certainly directly to one of the two Robs. I think that would be helpful because I don't have the technical background of this particular project. So we'll turn this over to Rob Morrison, our fire chief, maybe just a little background on why we're coming up with a new tower, why it's a priority, and what's happened to our old one.
Absolutely. So this process all started. Sorry, can you hear me okay? Councilor Zulak, yes? Okay. So this process all started back in the summer of 2024 when the fire department proceeded to go through a transition of our radio service that we use. We were used to be on an analog system, and we are currently on we've just moved over to a digital system. And so the tower was assessed at that time so that we could see whether the tower was capable of accepting a new digital antenna, which will clear up the signal, increase the range, just give us better telecommunications conditions. We hired through our communications company, Telequip. We were they recommended Max Tower to come in and perform an assessment on the tower that we have. So Mr. Dirks arranged that and had people come up and do a full assessment of the current MTO tower that we assumed from the MTO. It was built in the early 80s, and it's at the corner of Balsam Road and Center Road. The findings from that assessment came back, unfortunately, very negative. The tower obviously had not been maintained over the years the way it's supposed to be. The guy lines in the tower itself were overstressed. The tower, I believe at one point, one of the lines was stressed to 371 times what its rated capacity is. And so it was, Mr. Dirks came in and presented the findings of that assessment to council last September, I believe, in which he presented the findings and he explained that essentially the tower needed to be replaced. It was beyond what we could repair. At that time, we took quotes from him so that we had a rough estimate and could budget for what we believed the tower would end up costing us. We also began conversations with Spectrum Group, who are on the current tower as an internet provider for the area. We put together an RFP process in the spring of this year to have the tower replaced, and we received, I believe, do you remember how many, Carly? I believe in the neighborhood of 8 bids. Seven bids we received for the replacement of the tower. Max Tower ended up being the winning company with the most affordable bid and the most reasonable prices. So we awarded to Max Tower through council the contract to replace the tower. We provided notice to Spectrum Group that they had essentially 1 year in which to remove their equipment from that tower because the tower would need to be brought down. It becomes a public safety issue at that point when a tower is abandoned, but we expect that that tower will come down regardless anyways. So we awarded the contract to Mr. Dirks and to Max Tower, and we agreed on a new site for the tower being the corner of Lees Road and Setter Road. That particular location provides us a great deal of benefit from the standpoint that it's now central within the community. It's central within the township, and it's also a little bit higher than what the Balsam Road Tower site is. So our same 200-foot tower will provide us a better reception with less shadowy areas than what we currently enjoy at the Balsam Road. Mr. Dirks can explain the whole process from the time that we awarded the contract to him, including the geotech and so forth, but that's essentially how we ended up here.
And it was sort of a three-part RFP, that the actual tower itself, and then there were two other pieces?
Yes, so the RFP included three different segments. There was the actual tower itself. There was the decommissioning of the old guide tower, which is put off until next spring, because we have to, as per our contract from Spectrum, provide them with 12 months of notice. So in essentially end of May next year, Mr. Dirks will return and complete the second part of the contract to dispose of the old tower at Balsam Road. And then the third part of the contract was an optional segment in which we discussed backup power, so either a diesel or a propane-powered generator, standby generator, much like you would see in a house. We really only require the smallest one available. To provide power continuously for that tower. Right now, under the system that we currently live with, we have between 6 and 10 hours of battery backup time, depending on the amount of traffic that the tower has. And the traffic being fire department radio communications. With the number of extended blackouts that we've had this summer alone, we've really pushed the limit of what that battery is capable of backing us up for at this time. And we've been lucky, we haven't had to go, but we do have a small portable generator and essentially a standard operating procedure, which we put a volunteer firefighter there every 6 hours to run the portable generator to recharge the batteries and then shut it down, close it up. They can go home, but then they have to go back another 6 to 8 hours later to do the whole process again until the power's on. So obviously it's a very cumbersome process, but this is all we have at this point in time in order to keep that going. So it is something that we will consider, and it is something that I'm considering adding to. We have the emergency preparedness grant again that we're applying for, which the funding for that could actually fall under that if we can make it work. So that would be, sorry, that is the three parts of the RFP.
Excellent. Okay, I'm going to put it through to Mr. Dirksen and just the procedure, what the public should expect. Or I guess it was October 15th, was that what you said?
Yes, the contract states that the tower must be complete and operational by October 15th.
Okay, so maybe Mr. Dirksen, could you just explain to the public then the procedure, timeline perhaps, and whether there's any, traffic control required, what we do with, I don't think it'll be interfered with Hydro and Bell, but I'm sure you can tell us of all what the procedure is.
Absolutely. Well, we had a geotechnical investigation done on August 28th, is when they got a boring machine in and bored in to the rock just to see the state of the rock, to see if it was sound to carry the load of the tower and how far below the surface this rock was. And the results of that that geotechnical survey are in, and it's very sound rock, and it's, I believe it's about a foot below the existing ground surface there. So that that part there is all good for us, and it fit in with basically our original design. And starting from there, we are anticipating putting the foundations in this coming Thursday. We are going to have a crew on site to begin drilling into the rock and installing the tower foundations, and finishing up by Friday with the foundations as well as a cement pad for the communication shelter that we are providing as well. Within about a week after that, we plan on bringing the tower into the site to start assembling. Assembly, we're going to use as much of the space that we have to assemble the tower, and if possible, we do not have to block any of the road, but we may have to block a lane of Lee's Road on the Thursday or Friday, which I believe the dump is closed on those days. And so our target is to be well ahead of the October 15th deadline.
Okay, any particular questions maybe from the public, in person, online? Just ask if you're in person, if you go to the microphone, ask any particular questions you may have.
Just so that it's available to everybody, the actual, where we decided, where you did the core drilling and stuff, is essentially in the area where the current landfill site hours sign is, correct?
That is correct.
Yes. Okay. So as a visual reference for anybody who does drive by it, that's a good place to essentially assume the tower is going to go, is where that white sign is.
Now, we've probably been through this before, but I visited the site and looked at the actual area. It's not a huge area. What kind of an area are you looking at here for a diameter, say, for this tower? It doesn't have the guide wires, it's a standalone sort of thing?
No, this tower does not have the guy wires. It is a freestanding structure itself. The footprint of the tower is 13-foot triangle, basically, is the ground space this tower will take up. And there's 3-foot diameter piers that come out of the ground. So basically an area about 16 feet by 16 feet for the tower itself, and another, I believe it's 10 feet by 13 feet for the concrete pad the shelter will be sitting on. The tower itself will have a complete wraparound anticline to prevent or limit access to the tower by unauthorized persons.
Now, Maybe just a quick explanation of the anti-climb. I know when we put in the transfer station, we had to have fencing, and it had to, I think it was put in incorrectly, but it has to face outward. I'm not sure what the anti-climb is. Is it an actual fence, or?
No, the anti-climb itself is it's an angle iron frame along the bottom 10 feet of the tower section, and that is completely racked with sheet metal. So it's all, the bottom 10 feet of the tower is completely enclosed. It's inaccessible inside or outside.
Okay, Councillor Zulak, you had a question?
Yes, just reading the geotechnical report, I'm just curious as to the summary. Is there anyone that will ensure that the engineer's recommendations are carried out, or is there anyone that will do a final inspection to make sure everything is okay?
It's basically, it's the installation crew that does that. We can request that someone from the geotechnical company comes down and just verifies, but after the foundations are in, there's not really a lot they can see. As far as that goes.
I was just looking at where it's saying about the site is rock and anchorages under each tower leg. I'm not familiar with this, so is there going to be an anchorage under each tower leg that they're recommending?
Yes, the tower itself, each of the tower legs is going to have four rock bolts, drilled into the rock 18 feet.
Okay.
And from that, it will have an expanding cone on the bottom, which is the mechanical portion of the anchor, and it will also be filled in with a non-shrink grout to cover any voids in the rock at that point. So it's a full 100% bond between the rock and the rock anchor.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think it was verified as well that we don't need any lights on the tower, is that correct?
That's correct. Aeronautical assessment form shows no obstruction marking of any kind, lighting or painting is required. As it is now, the tower will be galvanized steel, so silver basically.
So I'm just interested looking at the height there, and I guess it's a little different for aircraft, but out at Lake Manitowabing at Minerva Park, there were different cones put up. Maybe, Rob, you're familiar with this, for airplanes coming up off the lake?
I'm not.
No, okay. And I'm just wondering if this, and this would be a lot higher than that is there, but there's no requirement for anything. This is just going to stick up above the tree line, I would assume, so.
Yes, my understanding is it's just going to look like a stick in the distance, essentially. The tower, it's going to be, you know, relatively unobtrusive. As far as I know, the cones that are hung from the above the lake, they're obviously to demark the power lines that are there,
right,
which are considerably smaller and harder to see, especially in low light conditions. So I would think that there's probably no issue.
Now, is there any necessity, I'm just thinking here, you know, worst case scenario, if the tower ever came down, we have hydro lines, we have bell lines within the area. Utility companies have to be contacted for any particular reason, or do they have any say in this?
There's not really any application to any of the works to get in touch with, because it's, as far as my knowledge, it's never really been an issue. We're working closer to hydro lines, but it's not an issue as far as construction wise goes. So there's not going to be any concern about that.
Okay, thank you. I want to put Councillor Ryland on the spot. Just come in. Whether you had any particular questions? Or?
Pardon me. I'm behind, and I apologize for being late. It's my fault. Nobody else's. So. Stuff happens anyhow. But.
Well, again, I'll invite the public online or in person to come to the microphone and have any particular questions. As I say, we have the experts here now that can answer them, I hope. I would think the way the RFP was worded, that maybe Rob, you can tell me on this, that any technical questions that come through you, is that the...
Any technical questions... Sorry, getting used to that. Any technical questions regarding the RFP, they did come through me, and I would then quite often use my contacts within the industry, such as Kelly Best from Telequip, as a source to help me answer things. I would receive questions such as, you know, a wind shear for the antenna that we plan on putting up and stuff like that. What is its wind resistance rating and that? And so I would really sort of use the people that I know within the industry to help me find that out. As far as actually technical questions regarding the tower, the performance of the tower, and the safety standards of the tower, those are all specifically for Mr. Dirks.
Okay. I'm just thinking, you know, as we proceed with this, if any questions arise, just looking at the chain of command, who should be contacted? We haven't, as council, passed any resolution to put somebody, to delegate somebody to make decisions. So do you anticipate anything coming back to council? Or?
I don't anticipate anything at this point. It has been public knowledge that we are putting a tower up for quite some time now. So like I said, I don't anticipate anything, but by all means, if anybody does have a concern, they can reach out to me. My contact's readily available on the website. So.
And then if there are any major decisions and anything change, you would come back to council?
Absolutely. We don't expect any changes right now. Everything seems to be running according to plan and according to contract. We don't expect anything to really materially change between now and the completion of the project. Correct, sir?
That's correct.
Okay. Last call for any questions from the public. Prior to just leaving the public meeting, I'd like to thank Mr. Dirks for coming and explaining the information to us, and obviously our fire chief, Rob Morrison, as well. And I'm not sure whether Dirks is aware, Mr. Dirks, that this is all being recorded, so people who weren't able to come could obviously listen to it later on the township website. So we have resolution 25-417, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session at
6:52 p.m.
Councilor
Morley Haskin?
Question.
Yes.
Councilor Mike Kekkonen?
Yes.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Councilor Debbie Zulak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. We have 5 yeas, no nays, all here. Carried. And resolution 25-418, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-51, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open Council this 19th day of September 2025. Call the question.
Councillor Morley Haskin?
Yes.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen?
Yes.
Councillor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Councillor Debbie Zulak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. 5 yeas, no nays, carried. And resolution 25-419, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
6:53 p.m.
to meet again on Tuesday, October the 7th, 2025, for a regular meeting of Council or at the call of the Mayor. Call the question.
Councillor Morley Haskin?
Yes.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen?
Yes.
Councillor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Councillor Debbie Zulak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. It's 5 yeas, no nays, carried.
Thanks for attending, Rob.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Good to see you all again.
Okay.
You too.
Thanks again.
Thanks.
So, meeting is now adjourned.